Pressure, lob pass left side. Touchdown, Tampa Bay! He is sacked by Gerald McCoy.
We are back here on this latest edition of the Pewter Panel. Scott Reynolds of PewterReport.com, Scott Smith, Buccaneers.com, Roy Cummings of the Tampa Tribune and TBO.com. So we left off after some debate and discussion talking about Mike Evans, and then talked a lot about the quarterbacks and quarterbacks that the Buccaneers did not take. So on night two of the draft, Scott, a tight end and also a running back. Let's begin with you. What about the second and third round picks
well,
this team?
Well, Roy got a chance to brag in the last one, right? So
right.
I can do a little bit of bragging.
Please.
Okay. I love the Austin Seferian Jenkins pick. And, in fact, on Friday, after the first round of the draft, wrote a little bit about what the Bucs might be thinking on day two. I thought that guard Xavier Suafilo would be a perfect fit, but I also felt that he wouldn't make it to us at the sixth pick. And sure enough, he was the first one taken on day two, if I'm not mistaken. I picked out two other players that I considered guys the Buccaneers should be interested in. I can't say I was in the war room seeing who they wanted.
Right.
One of them was Austin Seferian Jenkins, just because I think he has the potential to develop into that rare two-way tight end that can play every down, can excel as a blocker and a receiver, and be that guy that the Bucs draft and develop that they've almost never done in
right.
team history, get a tight end like that and develop them through the draft. They've tried a couple times, but it hasn't happened yet. And when we made that pick, obviously I approved of it.
Yeah, you've gotten that one. So any surprises here with a tight end? And then going with Charles Sims, the running back who had been at Houston for 3 years, won last season at West Virginia. Any surprises from you two about the second and third round picks?
I was pleasantly surprised to see the Sims pick. We had him as the Bucs' best bet on PewterReport.com.
Your chance to brag.
There you go.
My chance to brag, yeah. And really the reason I didn't expect them to take a running back at all this year, but if they're going to, Sims would be the guy. And the reason why is because he can catch the ball. I mean, 70 receptions for almost 800 yards as a freshman. That's pretty strong statistics.
Yeah.
And then you look at the receiving and the rushing production. It's pretty constant and consistent throughout his career, even when he transferred to West Virginia.
Roy, there's been a lot of debate, and I want to get into that a little bit here, that you didn't necessarily need a running back. So from a need standpoint, to pick a running back in round three, your reaction to that?
I don't have a problem with it. Here's why. I think there's a place for him in Jeff Tedford's offense. We don't know what that place is yet, but I'm sure the Buccaneers do. That's number one. Number two, Jason Light made a very good point. I'm not sure everybody picked up on this, but in his pre-draft press conference about a week before the draft, he made a point of telling fans that, hey, we're going to make some picks that may not seem like we need to make that pick right now, but our needs in September are going to be different than our needs
mm-hmm.
now, and that's why you take the best available player. You never know what's going to happen. And as he pointed out after the pick, this is an organization that just a year ago had a horrible situation at running back where it lost, you know, two, three guys in a row. And that's not new. I mean, every year it seems that a running back goes down. It's very seldom you see a running back, you know, last for 16 games. And they've got a bell cow guy, obviously, in Doug Martin. But here's a guy that does something a little bit better than Doug Martin does. He catches the ball well. So I really liked it. And I liked the tight end pick because when I wasn't thinking about Mike Evans as their first pick, I was thinking about Eric Ebron as their first pick, thinking if Evans isn't there, maybe that's where you take Eric Ebron, because I thought that tight end was one of their top three needs, in my opinion. Even though I love what Tim Wright did a year ago, I like the addition of Brandon Myers a lot. I think he's an underrated player. I still think you have an opportunity to get a dynamic, potentially dynamic tight end. You do it, and with Jenkins, I believe they did.
You know, Roy, something else that was said in that press conference you alluded to, I think it was Lovie instead of Jason, was that the free agency work really allowed them to reduce the number of needs that they really had to address and allowed them to do more of the best player available type of drafting.
Yeah.
And if you're going to say that, I don't know why it's so shocking to everybody that you then take a need that didn't look like it was number one.
I agree. And Scott, most people were thinking about guard in the third round,
yeah.
right? Because he missed on offensive line in the first two rounds, come back with the guard. Well, just to your point, Anthony Collins, left tackle, you know, signed in free agency, center. Evan Dietrich Smith, and then two guards were signed. Jamon Meredith was here last year in the last couple of years, and O'Neal Cousins. Now, those aren't household names that get fans all excited, but they certainly get George Warhop excited. So they did address the guard position. They're hopeful Carl Nix comes back. So the guard position might be better than some fans are anticipating. You know, we'll see in training camp, but they did come in and get Kadeem Edwards in the
one more.
It tells me that they just saw, and I think they said this after the picks, they saw Jenkins and Sims as players better than anybody else that was available to them at that point. If that means that you have to wait on the guard or you miss out on the guard, well, you got the better player. And I think that's a good thing. This is a team that still needs to fill a lot of holes, or did, and it's starting to fill some of those holes.
You had one more point real quick.
Well, yeah, you know, another thing that we heard before the draft all along that I think we're forgetting now is everybody said this was the deepest draft in years, and it's not that surprising to see a guard taken in the fifth round. After we took Austin Seferian Jenkins, Xavier Suofila was a guard taken to start that round, right?
Yes.
No other guards were taken until about 10 picks into the third round. Right. That was after the Bucks went with Sims. So, yes, they could have had their choice of about five guys that went after that, including a guy I sort of like, Trey Turner.
Yeah.
But you could see if those five guys were going to go, and then we also had Keenum Edwards rated highly, you could see the logic in the third round saying, let's get this running back that just standing on our board, and one of these guards is going to make us to our next pick. That's how you run a draft, right?
That's how the Bucks ran the draft. And by the way, for the first time in franchise history, took six offensive players. Every pick was an offensive player with a supposed defensive-minded head coach. How about them apples? Okay, more to come, including the NFC South and the teams in the NFC South and how they did. We'll kick that around with the panel in a moment.